I want us to read beginning with verse 21, and I'll read down through verse 28. Verse 21 through verse 28 of Matthew chapter 15. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I wanted this morning to bring a message on this portion of the Word of God. I wanted to talk really this morning about the encouragements and the discouragements that we face in our lives for prayer. It has been said, I suppose, many, many times that all of the failures, or at least most of the failures of God's people in this world is to be credited to the lack of prayer or to the understanding of what it means to lay hold of God, for one to stir up himself to lay hold of the Lord. I believe that eternal life began in my soul at a time when I was crying out to the Lord. A time when I was going, as I mentioned last week, from one side of the bedroom to the other, crying out to God, seeking the face of the Lord, crying out to the Lord that he might have mercy upon my poor soul. It was there, as the old preacher down in West Virginia would say, that God flung a chunk of salvation, reached out over the banner of heaven, flung a chunk of salvation down that hit me on the left side, turned a tub of honey over in my soul, and it's been oozing out through my ribs ever since. Now that's an odd way of saying that God just saved me and put his love in my heart. But nevertheless, it's a way that I think that most of you can understand, and I believe this happened when I was calling upon the Lord. God was pleased to come and appear to my soul and to do something in me that has never left me to this day. God saved me. And I want, if I can, to be a help to young people, to those that are beginning in the Christian life. I want to be able to say those things that are plainly taught in the Word of God, that they might be edified, they might be encouraged, and they might be especially, that they might be moved upon by the Spirit of God, having a desire in their heart to pray and to seek the Lord. You must always pray. And God's people, regardless of what happens, you can always pray. You can always pray. Even if all you can do is groan, you can pray. And the Spirit of God often makes groanings in our soul that are understood by God. God reads them. He understands them. And there are many, many times where we don't have the ability to put into words what's in our hearts, what's in our souls concerning our need and the needs of others around us. But God knows our hearts. And we need to learn that God is a hearing God. Now, the first thing that I want to talk about this morning is, and I want to mention this to you, this verse of scripture here in verse 23. We remember that this Canaanite woman came out of the coast of Tyre and Sidon. She came to our Lord. She had a desperate need. Her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. And she came and said, Have mercy on me, O Lord. She came praying unto the Lord Jesus Christ. But in verse 23, the Bible says here, but he answered her not a word. He answered her not a word. Now this, and we will discover as we get into this, that this woman had many, many discouragements to deal with. many discouragements here that came from what our Lord had to say to her, but it did not deter her. It did not turn her away from her pleading and gaining the victory even more than what she anticipated that she would gain when she began to call upon the Lord. But I want to talk a little bit before I get into the discouragements of prayer that we have facing us in our life. I want to talk a little bit about the encouragements that we have in our lives. Because as you remember, the end of this story bears out that our Lord did. He had mercy upon this woman. And this woman, that which she desired, that which she believed God for, it was given unto her. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So there is encouragement even at the end this morning of this story. But I want us to be impressed with the fact that God certainly does hear prayer, and God certainly does answer prayer. He certainly does. Now, I believe that it's more certain than any mathematical equation that you could present to us today that God hears and that God answers prayer. And I want you young people especially to hear what I have to say here this morning, because I know that there's so many discouragements in the world concerning our prayer life, how that Satan attacks us and how he visits us on this particular front, and we need some encouragement. And I want to try to give it to you if I can. Well, the Lord Jesus on this occasion, he answered her not a word. Now listen to me. The Bible says in Proverbs 20 and verse 12, and I believe that the greatest encouragements, while I could stand here this morning and tell you over and over about the times when God heard when I prayed through the name of Jesus Christ and how that God answered those prayers, and I'm sure there are many here that could stand up and testify to direct answers that God has given them to their prayers, and we'd all be thrilled together at the personal testimonies of God's children as they related to us what the Lord had done for them, how he heard them, how he delivered them, how God appeared at the very right time in their lives, and how God delivered their hearts and their souls, and how he made known to them his will, how he enlightened their hearts, how he led them in the way, how he guided them to do his will, and so on. But beloved, this morning, I believe the greatest encouragement that we can receive is from the Word of God itself. And in the book of Proverbs, chapter 20 and verse 12, it says, both the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Now, beloved, if God made the hearing ear, you can be sure that he has one of his own, that God has a hearing ear. And we read also in the book of Isaiah, chapter 59 and verse 1, that the Lord's ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. God is not hard of hearing. There's no problem. He's not afflicted like maybe some of us are. God is not hard of hearing. His ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. And so always be encouraged to come to God and pour out your heart's desire. Pour out the very desire of your soul unto him. And then in Micah, the book of Micah, chapter 7, and if you can turn rapidly in your Bible, I'd like for you to do that. I'd like for you to see this verse of Scripture. This was a very, very difficult day when this Scripture was penned. And Micah said in verse 5 of chapter 7, he said, trust ye not in a friend, put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. But look at verse 7. In this calamitous time, in this difficult day, in this treacherous day, in this day of disloyalty, the prophet Micah says, therefore, in verse 7, I will look unto the Lord. I look unto the Lord. All around are traitors. All around will turn against you in a time of distress, in a time of need. But therefore, he says, I will look unto the Lord. He says, I will wait for the God of my salvation. And listen to this. He says, my God will hear me. No doubt about it. He said, my God will hear me in this calamitous time, in this difficult day. I'll wait for the God of my salvation. I'll wait on Him. I'll look to Him and I'll wait for Him, and my God will hear me. He will hear me. So always, my friend, whatever your situation be, whatever the conditions that exist right around you, whatever you have to deal with, remember, your God will hear you. Your God will hear you. Look up unto your God and look unto Him in faith. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12 it says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. That means that God sees His righteous people. Now these righteous ones are those, and I don't get tired of saying this, I must say it because I would have every one of you to have it fixed in your soul. When the Bible talks about a righteous man, it's talking about somebody who has a standing in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's talking about somebody who has been accepted in the Beloved One. Somebody who has the robe, the garment of salvation placed upon them as they have been enabled by the Spirit of God to come savingly to Christ. They're righteous because they have His holy garments on, and they appear before God without spot and blemish or any such thing, because they stand in the perfect white righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears, listen to it, are open unto their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Well, I like this part. His ear is open unto their prayer. His ear is open. And so you come to God and you cry out to God because His ear is open. And He will hear you when you pray. Now in Luke chapter 18, you remember the story there that our Lord Jesus told a parable. He told a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You remember He talked about this importunate widow who went to this unjust judge, and how she cried out, and the scripture says, shall not God avenge His own elect which cry day and night unto Him? The Lord is an avenger of all of His people. The Bible says that we're never to avenge ourselves, but we're to leave it to God's wrath. We're to wait upon the Lord, we're to leave things in God's hands, and that God will avenge His own elect that cry unto Him day and night. And so you cry unto God, and it implies their persistence. It implies that we just keep on with it, that we just keep on praying and seeking the face of the Lord, because God will. He will avenge His own elect, though He might bear long with them. God will most surely come to you. Oh, if I could just some way or another move the hearts of some of you that know the Lord Jesus Christ to begin to cry and stir up yourself to begin to seek after the living God and begin to pray, and that you would not be deterred from it, but that you would remember these precious verses, and that the Lord would move you toward a faithfulness in crying out unto Him and bearing up those burdens that you have and taking them unto the Lord and leaving them there with the Lord. Now our brother read to us out of Luke chapter 11, and I would invite you to turn back to this passage here this morning. Luke chapter 11. I'm showing you how that the Word of God is our chief encouragement. Certainly it's stimulating to hear brethren talk about God answering their prayers. But I think what we need to do is to be grounded in the Word of truth. We need to hear what the Word of God says, so that when we forget, and our brethren are gone, and we forget what they had to say, we can always turn to this blessed book and we can read what the Word of God says about this subject. Okay, so here in this chapter, our Lord has taught the disciples to pray a prayer. And this is the disciples' prayer. It's often called the Lord's Prayer, but it really is the disciples' prayer. And then He said, He told them this story. He said to them, which of you shall have a friend, shall go unto him at midnight, and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Now these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my soul, we need to hang our hearts on these verses. When we desperately need the Lord to intervene for us, when we desperately, just like this man, he needed some loaves. He had those that had come, company had come to his house, and he needed these loaves to be able to feed them. And so the Lord Jesus says, the man will not rise and give them to him because he's his friend, yet because he's persistent, yet because he keeps asking, yet because he will not go away from the door. He will have what he needs. He must have it, and he's come to that one that has it, and he will not leave until he gets it. He will have it from his friend. Okay, and so the scripture says that he will give him as many as he needeth. Let us lay hold of that. The Lord will supply our need in answer to persistent prayer. And so let us remember that. And then in verse 9, and these are the verses here I want you to really see. And I say unto you, ask. The Lord Jesus says, I say unto you. And he would say that to each and every one of you this morning as you're seated here in this building. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. Everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened unto you. What is it that you desire? What is it that you're seeking? What is it, my friend, that you would have from the hand of the Almighty of heaven and earth? What would you have from his hand? The God that owns all, the God who opens his hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing on the face of the earth, animals and humankind, every living thing is provided for by the living God. All of the vegetation in the world is blessed by God and sustained by the hand of the Lord. This God is a God who is able, my friend. He's a rich God. And all that you must do is ask. And he says, everyone that asketh receiveth. Somebody said, well, you mean to tell me that God really will give me what I ask? Well, let's look at verse 11 and 12. He says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, if one of your sons comes to you and says, Daddy, would you give me a loaf of bread? Will he give him a stone? Well, of course not. Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish, give him a serpent? Will he give him a rattlesnake? He asked for a fish. Will he give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Now this is very important that we see this. God does answer our prayers and give us what we ask for. Now I want you to see it. I want you to see it. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Evil here, it means if you're depraved, you being depraved, and we all are. If you being sinful, and we all are. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's not one that has not offended God. So we're evil in and of ourselves because our natures are bent towards sinning and biased towards sin, and we're evil in and of ourselves. Whenever you find us and wherever you find us, we're evil. But listen to me. If you know how to give good gifts into your children, you say, well, I certainly do. I know how to give good things to my children. They ask me for something, I do it. I honor their request. Well, I don't give them something entirely different. I give them what they ask for. And then he goes on to say here, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? In the Holy Spirit, my friend, we find every blessing in the Holy Spirit. Now you listen to me. You say, well, there's the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure that that's what I want. My friend, let me tell you something. You cannot pray except you pray in the Spirit. There may be something larger that you want in your life, something, a request that you would make of God Almighty. You would desire the Lord to intervene and do something, that he would come down and leave his footprints in your house, and that he would touch your children and your life. My friend, if you ever experience it, it'll be as you prayed in the Holy Spirit, as you prayed in the Spirit. So the Lord says, I know how to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask me, and I will give them the Holy Spirit, and in the gift of the Holy Spirit, they'll have all blessing. They'll have all blessing and be able to ask and to ask and to ask. And that Holy Spirit in them will be like a well that's springing up and flowing out. We need the Holy Spirit. Every one of us must have the Spirit of God to be able to walk as a Christian, to be able to live New Testament theology and New Testament experience. We must be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that if a man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And the Lord knows how to give the Holy Spirit. So whenever you get something from God, do not, my friend, say, well, I asked the Lord for bread, but he gave me a stone. I asked him for a fish, he gave me a serpent. Look what he sent into my life. Look what the Lord has done. No, the Lord has really given you. When you asked for an egg, he didn't give you a scorpion, he gave you an egg. He did. Now, one old theologian said that God, if he doesn't pay you off in silver, it's because he intends to pay you off with gold. And when you pray, my friend, God might be pleased, you see, to in some way or another, he give you something, and you won't even recognize that he give. It may come in a black envelope. It may come in a black envelope. And you may say, well, this is not what I asked for. But my friend, it's exactly what you asked for, because the Lord is wise. He's an all-wise God, and he gives you what it is that he would have you to have. And if you was as smart as God, if you was as wise as God, you'd let it stop right there, and you'd say, the Lord gave me bread, the Lord gave me fish, and the Lord gave me an egg. He did it. If you're as wise as God is, you'd see that whatever you asked for was exactly what God gave you. Now, I'm not saying we're as wise as God is. We're not. Therefore, we go off murmuring. We go off complaining. We go off just carrying on, just like the Lord had forsaken us. He had forgotten to be gracious, and he had not heard our prayer. But we need to be encouraged to believe that God is going to give us what we ask. Now, these things are very important that we understand this, that God is going to hear a prayer. Well, we talked a little bit about importunity and about being persistent and about praying and keeping on with our praying. There's some illustrations that I would like to try to give you this morning in connection with this. Now, I know there are seasons, even with God's true children, even with those who believe the Word of God and read the Bible on their knees and pray, I know there are seasons when at His feet they groan, as the poet said, yet bring their wants away as they come away from the throne of grace. We present our petitions before the Lord, yet our request does not seem to be complied with there and then. But this is no strange thing to the Lord's people. This is not a strange thing that's happened unto us. If we prayed over and over and for years and nothing seemingly happened, if the Lord seemingly answers us not a word, this is no strange thing. The poet said, John Erskine, I believe, said this, they're heard when answered soon or late. Yea, heard when they no answer get. Are kindly answered when refused, and treated well when harshly used. God's people are heard when they pray, even though the Lord bears long with them. There's some illustrations, about four illustrations, and the last one we'll give is this one here in our text. But this story is about a boy that grew up. His father was a Christian man, and he went to work for a Christian. But this young man was a wicked young man, lived in sin, and said he was an infidel. And so he got all the literature he could on from the infidels and read it and passed it out, circulated it. And he had a companion, and one time he told this companion what he was, this young man was about 17, 18 years old. He told this companion of his, he says, "Now I'm going to really do something. I'm going to show up these people down there at the chapel that are down there having a prayer meeting." He said, "I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to go in, and I'm going to present myself to the preacher, and I'm going to say, 'Preacher, my soul is heavily burdened, and I need for you people to pray for me here at this prayer meeting. I need for you to pray.'" He said, "I'm going to make a mockery out of this," and he says, "I am going to show you these people can't, they don't have anything, and this is all just a bunch of rubbish, this business of prayer, this business of calling on God. There is no God." And so this young man, he went in to the prayer meeting, and there was a group of people gathered together and just about ready to pray. And so he come up to the preacher, he come up to the front, and just as straight-faced as he could be, he said to the preacher, he said, "Now I'm heavily burdened in my soul, and I would like for you folks to pray for me and to cry to God for me, because I need to be saved." And so he was there on the front row, and the old brethren began to pray. They began to pray. Old white-haired man, he got on his knees and he began to pray, began to cry out to God for this young man, began to pray for him. And he finished, tears running down his face. Another man got on his knees and began to pray for this boy. Well, the first thing you know, this young man was seen to slip over on his knees and got down on his knees, and he began to pray for his own soul. And as the story goes, that young man, before he left that building, even though he'd come in to mock God, God heard the prayers of his people, and that young man was saved, went out of there and had to deny everything that he believed about his to his friends and everything, and testify to them that I went into that place to do mischief, but God undertook for me, and God saved my soul in that place in answer to the prayers of the Lord's people. All right, that's one illustration that God does hear prayer. Even though somebody may be what we might say an actor or a hypocrite in the situation, God still hears the prayers of his people. Now the second illustration is, there was a lady, and she had a very mean and wicked husband. And this wicked husband, one night when this lady came from church, he would not let her come in the house. She'd been to the meeting house. And so he ran her out into the field, and she stayed all night in the field. And she would not go to the neighbor's house. She wanted spread around the community that her husband had drove her out because she had went to the meeting house. And so she made up her mind that she was going to pray for this mean husband, that she would pray, and my, the things that she suffered at his hands, only God knows. It's a wonder to me, according to the story, that she didn't die prematurely before she was ever able to see the victory of God. But she made up her mind, "I'm going to pray an hour every day for that man. I'm going to pray for him." And so for a year, she said, "I will pray for a year, an hour every day." So she prayed and she prayed and she prayed, and the man didn't get any better. He only got worse. And the year came, and when the year was over, she said to herself, "Well, I'm mighty weak, and I don't know whether I can go on and do this or not, but I'll do it for another 6 months. I'll do it for another 6 months, and then I'm going to give it up. I'll give it up." So she began to pray again, and after some time, one day, at about the noon hour, this man came home from work. He came home from work, and he came in the house, and she saw that he was heavily burdened. He was distressed. And so she said, "What is it? What is it?" And he wouldn't answer a word. He went upstairs. And after a while, he came back down. He wouldn't even go back to work that afternoon. He came down and he said, "I cannot pray. I cannot pray. I cannot pray." And she said, "Do you want to pray?" He said, "I must pray." He said, "I was at work and something very strange come over me. And conviction came over me. I cannot pray. I cannot pray. I must pray. I must get some relief." And so he said, "Will you pray with me?" And she said, "I will." And she prayed with him. And he prayed. And he was saved. God saved his soul. And in a few days, he was coming to the meeting house with her. And her life was blessed of God. And she saw the answer. And ere long, they were at the Lord's table together. What a victory that God gave. But that woman, an hour a day for a year, and then had to start on the next 6 months, barely able to have the strength to endure. Now there's another illustration. There was a fellow, and his last name was Mitchell. And he was a captain on a ship. And he went to sea, and he had a wife, a young woman, and she was about ready to have their first child. And while he was out at sea, one day he felt heavily burdened to pray for his wife and for the child that was yet to be born. And so he prayed earnestly, and he wrote down the prayer, wrote it down on a piece of paper. And as he wrote that in the Spirit of God, he thought, well, if something happens to me, then they will have this. And so he placed it in his oak chest, where all of his papers were on board the ship. And the man did not make it home. The man died on board ship. And his wife received the oak chest that had all of his papers in it. And she would not look into the oak chest. She had no desire to, she said. And so she kept it. And she said, maybe someday our son will want this chest. And so she kept it. And then finally, the boy was born. The baby was born. It was a little boy. And the baby grew up into manhood and come to America from England. Came to America and was in the army for a while in America. And after a while, when he was 54 years old, living in sin, been rebellious toward God all of his days, and was living with a woman of the street, and one day he came across that old oak chest up in the attic, and he began to look through his father's papers. And down in the bottom of that chest, rolled up with a red ribbon around it, was this prayer that his dad had prayed and written down for his mother and for himself. His father was greatly burdened for his soul, that he might that the mother and the child might stand in Christ, that they might come to have hope of the gospel, that they might come to have forgiveness of sin, and to have the peace of God shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Spirit. And that spelled out the desire of his father for him. At 54 years old, the man said, well, I'll just put it back. And so he put it back, but the prayer had lodged in his heart, and he could not get over it. The woman he was living with said, what's the matter with you? And she said, are you going to become a hypocrite? What's coming over you anyway? He said, I cannot get away from it. I cannot get away from this prayer. My dad's prayer. Prayed 54 years before, lying in there in that oak chest all of those years. And I tell you what, the Lord broke his heart and brought him to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was saved. God saved him. He married this woman. They lived together honorably. God blessed them together. And I'll tell you what, 54 years that prayer laid there in that box. But God never lost sight of it. And God knew what he was going to do. In 54 years from the time that man wrote that until this young man read it, God meant for it to be an instrument to the salvation of this young man. So those three illustrations, I think, help us to see that surely the Lord is able. He is able to answer prayer. He is able to hear prayer. He is able to deliver. Now let us quickly look at a few things here in this text, and then we'll close. In Matthew chapter 15, let's go back there. There's some things here that I want us to look at that I believe will be a blessing to you, that'll stick with you even if you forget these stories that I've told you. Now, in the first place here, in this text, we see that true faith, and this woman had true faith. She had God-given faith. And true faith sometimes is found where it might least be expected. Now, this woman here was a Canaanite woman, and she was a Gentile. And she came from the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And, you know, this was that place which had her race of people had long ago been given up to destruction. And they were Gentile dogs is what they were. And but this woman now here, now she was from Bethany or Jerusalem. Maybe you could expect that she would have had this faith, but she wasn't. Don't you see? She was from out of the way place where the Lord Jesus had said when he was talking about Chorazin and Bethsaida, said if the mighty works that had been done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago. Well, this woman came out of that place. And she had heard of the fame of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so she comes out. And then she comes here to the Lord Jesus. And so she begins to cry out, have mercy on me. Now there's a lesson here, beloved. You know, sometimes we think, well, we should spend our time on the people that show the most promise. That we should, those that are right in the center of activity with us, those that we know and our own children, we should spend all the time. But listen, as one old prophet said, we ought to plow clear to the end of the field. And whenever we get out there, you know, sometimes we may find somebody way out there on the perimeter that the Lord's dealing with. The Lord may be dealing with. And I want you to know this, that sooner or later, there's going to come a meeting between the Lord Jesus Christ and every sinner that he's seeking. There's going to come a meeting between those two people. Wherever that sinner comes from, there's going to be a meeting. And those two people are going to get together, Christ and the sinner. And that's what happened here in this story. But she cries out, Lord, have mercy on her. And it ought to teach us that as we go about the grace of God, that it's the grace of God to bring salvation, and it's not the place which we come from. It's the grace of God. Now, let us not despair of anyone's soul merely because his lot is cast in an unfavorable position. It is possible to dwell in the coast of Tyre and Sidon and yet sit down in the kingdom of God. It's possible. And so don't be afraid to bear witness of the gospel. Now, the second thing I want to point out is that affliction sometimes proves a blessing to a person's soul. Now, this lady had an affliction, and it was her daughter that was grievously vexed with a devil. And so this, her love for her daughter drove her to prayer. Now, beloved, our need must press us to pray, and our need will press us to pray. And sometimes it is good that we be afflicted. This trouble brought her to Christ, taught her to pray, and surely it was good for her, as the psalmist said, for her to be afflicted. So mark it well, there's nothing that shows our ignorance more in this world than impatience under trouble. You know, many, many times we would avoid trouble every way we possibly could. We don't want a bit of trouble. But beloved, let me tell you something. It's trouble that'll drive you to the Lord. It's trouble that'll bring you to Christ. And we ought not be impatient under it, because we must not forget that every cross is a message from God and intended to do us good in the end. Trials are intended to make us think. They're intended to wean us from the world, to send us to the scriptures, and to drive us to our knees. Now, health is a good thing, but sickness is far better if it moves a man to seek his God, if it moves him to cry out to God. Now, adversity I believe that prosperity is a great mercy, but adversity is better if it will bring a man to Christ. Would you agree with me? If it'll bring a man praying and seeking, then it's better. Anything is better than living in carelessness and dying in your sin. Anything. And one old preacher down south, he said, if God don't quit blessing this generation, why, they'll all go to hell. If God don't start burning down some of these people's houses and getting some of these people in trouble, they never will seek the Lord. They'll never cry to God. Well, I'll tell you, there's a measure of truth to that. There ain't very many people ever look up till they get down, do they? It's when you get down that you look up. It's whenever you come to the end of yourself That's when you begin to look to God for something, when you get to the end of yourself. All right, better 1,000 times to be afflicted like this mother was afflicted, and for her to flee to Christ than live at ease like the rich fool and die at last without Christ and without hope. Better to be afflicted, wouldn't you say? Better to be afflicted. All right, now in the third place, and we got just four things here we're going to mention. We see in the third place that Christ's people are often less gracious and compassionate than Christ himself. Now I want you to see that here. Now, this is very important that I think we need to be aware of it, and we need to assure people that our Master is much more gracious than the best of his servants are. Now, it is true here that the Lord Jesus, he put some stumbling blocks, as it were, to test this woman's faith. And he said to her, he answered not a word, and then his disciples came, and they besought him, saying, "Send her away." How cold that is. Send her away. They would say, "She's not worthy to have what you've got to give. That belongs to us." I mean, we're the Jews, and that belongs to us. And not only that, they said, "She's crying after us." She was doing no such thing. She was crying after the Master. She wasn't crying after them. They didn't have anything they could give her. Not a thing. But he had something he could do for her. Well, he answered her and said, "I'm not sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." They said, "Send her away." Jesus said, "Well, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Well, you know, this woman, she would say, "Well, you know, I can't do anything about your mission. I can't change that. I can't change the fact that the race of people I come from are who they are and what they are." Because you know, the Lord Jesus said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." She said, "I can't change my people. I can't change who I came from, that race of people. I can't do anything about that. But I can pray. I can pray. I can't change your mission or my people. And I can't change myself. But I can pray." And see what happened? She said, "Truth, Lord." You remember in verse 25 that she had worshipped, saying, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me." What a prayer that is. "Lord, help me. Help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me." You know, it don't take long to pray that prayer. "Lord, help me. Lord, have you ever prayed that? Just standing on your feet and you're in trouble, hot water clear up your knees. "Lord, help me. Help me, be merciful, Lord, to me." And so she is worshiping. The Lord said, "Well, I can't take the children's bread and cast it to..." And the word Jesus used here, dogs, means little dogs. Little dogs. "I can't cast the children's bread to little dogs." But that woman caught a hold of that. She knew they had house dogs, little house dogs. And she knew that them little house dogs was allowed the privilege of getting under the table. Going under the table. And eating the crumbs that fell off the Master's table. And so she said, "Truth, Lord, I don't deny it. I know, Lord, that I'm a Gentile dog, and I know I don't deserve anything from you, and I know I'm not worth anything, but yet the dogs, those little dogs, eat of the crumbs which fall from their Master's table." They do that. They're down under that table, and there's something falls off. They got it. They get it. And that's what she wanted. She just wanted a crumb that would fall off of the Master's table, off of the Lord Jesus Christ's table. Just something from the Lord. Something from Him. Just something from the Lord. There's not many people that wants anything from the Lord Jesus, but I do. I do. I want something. I want something. I need something. I desire something. My soul pleads for something from the Master's table. I must get something from His table. I must have it from the Lord. And the Lord's able to give it. He will give it. Those crumbs will fall, my friend. They will fall. They'll fall off the table. And you just, even though you're a little dog, you'll get something There's something coming. Something coming from the hand of the Lord. Okay, so this ought to encourage us to pray and to persevere in prayer, both for ourselves and for others. And I believe that as we see that there's encouragement here, I think that it will bless us and that it will tend in the hour when we're pressed, it will move us to pray. In verse 28, then Jesus answered, said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. Sure, you're a Gentile dog. Sure, you're untutored and unlettered. Sure, you're no theologian. Sure, you don't have any Abraham or Isaac's blood in you. Sure, you're nothing but a condemned race. But great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Oh, my friend, this morning, wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody here, and I don't know how many seeking souls we got here. I don't know whether we got anybody here seeking the Lord or not. Crying out to God as this old preacher's preaching. Lord, I just need this. I must have this. The Lord Jesus, all that he would say, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Be it unto thee. Sister, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Brother, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Do you believe? Do you believe God? Do you trust him who cannot lie? Do you believe him? He's a God of mercy and a God of grace. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. She got exactly what she was asking from the Lord. Now let me close by saying that prayer is the rope which hangs down on earth. And there's a bell in heaven which it rings and it rings and it rings. When people are pulling that rope, you're pulling that rope, and you're pulling that rope, and you're pulling that rope morning, noon, and night, pulling that rope. And the bell rings in heaven, and God hears it. Let its notes be, save my children, save my husband, save my wife, save my brother, save my sister. Let the notes be, Lord, bless the church. Lord, meet the needs of those who are cast down, those who are discouraged. Let the note ring out in glory. Speak the names of your children before the throne of grace. Say their names to the Lord. Oh, my friend, how important this is. Make the bell ring and ring and ring and pull that rope. Pull that rope tonight. Pull that rope in the morning. Pull that rope day after day, day after day. Pull that rope. Pull that rope. Remember what we had to say today. I trust that this has been to some degree an encouragement and that you see the obstacles. There's many of them in the way. Many things in the way. But I trust that the Word of God alone will be sufficient to move our hearts toward real earnest prayer. And that it'll not be the kind that will be able just to say, well, if I don't get it today, I'll just forget about it. If it don't happen, I'll just forget it. No, 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 no. No, no. Just keep on pulling the rope. Keep on ringing the bell. Keep on, keep on, keep on. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, be pleased to use this message, stammering and stuttering as it was presented. Lord, remember this people. Stir up our hearts. Oh, may we find a place where we can get alone and pull the rope. Father, be merciful to us and strengthen us and give us that which we need, that the Holy Spirit, in order that our hearts would be aflame with desire and with holy ambition to see you intervene and see you work. In Jesus' name, save every lost sinner here. Bring them to Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's